In the evenings, we are going to be reflecting about some evangelistic sermons, some kind of old sermons. And this is part of a series that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones did. And I'm using some of the verses. And today our text is from John chapter 4, verses 41 and 42. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to our Bibles. And what we're going to do, we are going to read. But before we reflect upon these verses, we are going to have a time of prayer. We have a few people in our church who need a special touch from the Lord, so we're going to spend some time in prayer. So let's read together these two verses. John chapter 4, verses 41 and 42. I have the verses from the NIV on the screen. So let's read together these verses. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." My subject this evening is this: the Savior of the world. What a challenging statement in our society these days. The Savior of the world. Let us pray. Let's spend a moment in silence, and maybe as we come to the Lord and to hear his word, let us pray, perhaps for people who need a special touch. Let us pray together. Feel free to pray. The Savior of the world. In our society, this is one of the most difficult statements to make. Because perhaps some people say, well, all religions are the same. We are living in a multicultural society. So we are to respect everyone. All the roads lead us to a kind of God there. Maybe on the other hand, there will be somebody, all forms of religions are wrong. Those are children's tales. That's useless. Why we are to believe on this statement, the Savior of the world? We live in a society where everyone is entitled to believe what they want to believe. Everyone is entitled to do what they want to do. Everyone is free to live as they want to live. We are free, so why do I need a Savior? And I says, it broke my heart this week when I heard one person who preached in one of the churches in London, who said, "I preach that the most important is love. Jesus is love. We don't care what people do with their sexual life or what they do." That's what he preached. So why to believe in? Do we need a Savior? Pride is one of the biggest obstacles to come to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Pride is one of the biggest of, because perhaps we don't realize it's there, and we are having our lives, and we don't realize we are so proud of who we are, and that's an obstacle. And then we cannot come to know Jesus. The message of Jesus is just another message like the other religions, because pride. We are to recognize that regardless our background, our social condition, our culture, our race, our gender, we are just by flesh, fragile human beings. And before we acknowledge the deity of Christ, this is good news that he is the Messiah, we need to be humble. Because if we are not humble, we cannot see who God really is. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 25, verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Pride is the biggest obstacle to meet the Savior of the world. The Old Testament says in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2 says, I myself, says the Lord, created the whole universe. I am pleased with those who are humble and repentant, who fear me and obey me. That's the Lord. I myself created the universe. There is no better illustration than the passage we have this evening. The passage we read this morning as we spend time in the house of the Lord this morning. The Samaritan woman at the well and these Samaritans to whom she reported her conversion with Jesus Christ. And now this story tells us of the power of the gospel. Tell us that when we come to the Lord, there is something beautiful. Something can change in our lives. This woman who was a despised woman, who was a sinner. This woman who had 5 husbands and the 6th one was not her husband. This woman was a powerful weapon for the kingdom of God. She was an evangelist. So let's read John chapter, just to start to see her journey, and perhaps we're gonna see how we can understand this statement, the Savior of the world. John chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, have your Bible open. We're gonna read a few verses, and it's better for us to read from the Bible. John chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Say, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees have heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So our Lord Jesus is tired, and then when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink, please? His disciples have gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The first thing we need to see here, as we consider the gospel, as we consider the Savior of the world, is the context. The context we have here. And here, I want to give a little bit of background so for us to understand why the woman is reacting in this way. Why is so surprised that by this man asking her for a drink of water? Okay, who are the Samaritans? Well, the Samaritans, Samaria was the capital of the northern 10 tribes after they split away from David's line and after Solomon. And it was divided in 931 before Christ, under Solomon's son Rehoboam. So the Assyrians and Babylonians conquered them and deported many Jews and imported some people into their lands. And now many people were in this area. So the remaining Jews remarried into these people, making a race of half-breed Jews. Now they feel unwelcome in Jerusalem. They build their own temple, and then they copy a temple like the temple in Jerusalem on Mount Gerizim in 330 before Christ, and offer sacrifices and the Passover even to this day. And now they were hated. So the problem is the Jews, if they were traveling, you know, if the Jews wanted to travel from Judea to Galilee, they will take an indirect route in order to avoid going through Samaria. They didn't like them. They were not pure. They were mixed race. And that is the, in my map, you can see the route they will take, the red one. But Jesus, I'm going straight. And he goes up. And that's how we find this woman and the encounter of Jesus. That is the gospel, my friends. Very uncomfortable. Jesus is doing something that is not politically correct. He's going through Samaria and he's talking to a woman, and that was something they will not do. So the challenge is this. We find this woman making her way to Jacob's well to get some water. No doubt she was thirsty because she is going to get some water, but she wasn't just physically thirsty. She was spiritually thirsty. Why we say that? Because most women in the vicinity, they would have been there earlier. But this woman, she wanted to avoid maybe the nasty looks from the other women, because they will know her past five husbands and her current situation, that the man that she was living with was not hers. This woman tried the first husband, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, and the last one wasn't hers. The challenge. When you try to share Jesus with people, even if they have heard of him, they do not know him. And then, so they are surprised. They are shocked. Is that easy to be a Christian? Just to surrender my... Is that easy to be a Christian? She was unkind to him. And we learned this morning how he was very gentle. And Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given living water. Jesus says, salvation is a gift from God. That is the gospel. When you talk to your friends, to your family, you know, that is the challenge. It's a gift. And then in the Jewish tradition, the Torah was linking with living water, but here it's about the Holy Spirit. And now the challenge of the gospel is that sometimes, or most of the time, it will upset people. Certainly, this woman was surprised. But the first move is humility. It takes us to our following verses. Let's continue reading what's happening here. This leads us to the next phase found in verses 11 to 14. Let's read together. 11 to 14. I'm going to read from John chapter 4. She says, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water that you are talking about? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Verse 15 says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. What is it for me? Maybe this man can do something for me. You know, when she's humble now. She said, well, she's trying to recognize. Jesus goes deeper to explain about the water that will quench her thirst forever. Jesus knew what she needed, and he explained to her that he could satisfy her need. When we bring people to him, we sometimes it's difficult to explain, but the moment people make the first move to be humble and leaving their pride on one side, then we are able to share that. This morning we read that Jesus talked to this woman with gentleness. He was nice to her. But when we go to share the gospel, it's not about just being kind and loving. We are to bring these people to get to know the Lord. Because salvation is when we repent. She asked if Jesus is greater than their common ancestor Jacob, who gave them the well. In verse 13 and 14, Jesus begins to clear up her misconception about what he's referring. He's offering her eternal life. This is the ultimate gift. And she has many issues in her life, and he moves her from the perceived needs. They say, well, she sees the world from her point of view, and she doesn't understand it. And then she jumps to the next step, the dilemma of facing the truth. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is that you have had five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just says is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. I don't have a husband. The dilemma of facing the truth. You know, this is Jesus. Do you know how the Lord Jesus began the gospel? Repent. Maybe we that's what he said. Giving the person to see and understand that they need a savior. This woman comes and she's in sin, but she's so arrogant. When she starts talking, if you see, she's arrogant about her religion. Some people are arrogant about their religion. You talk about, well, anyway, I belong to this denomination. Even we go, I am Baptist. I am Catholic. I am Methodist. And some people say, I don't believe that rubbish. Some people say that. I have no religion. That's what the woman is doing here. And then Jesus touch. You are a sinner, my friend. Repent. And you know what? She start using defense mechanisms. Verse 20. Our ancestors. She's diverting. Our ancestors worship on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. It seems like she's changing the subject. But I really don't think so, that this is what she's going to do. You know, I believe she was burning the question that she would like to answer. She said, okay, you know, she's diverting. And that's what happens when you are sharing the gospel with people. They don't want to hear it. Repent, said Jesus. The dilemma of facing the truth. I read a story of the man in charge of the mafia in Italy. The mafia, they're killing people and all that. And he was Catholic. And he just will go to the priest and give $1 million. So the priest could say, you are okay. That's reality. The dilemma of facing the truth. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. He's answering the question to this woman. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. She said, okay, this woman is even a religious woman, but she is a sinner. She didn't want to recognize it. And she said, we'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You have to be in the right position to worship my Father, said Jesus. That's what he is saying. The dilemma of facing the truth. There are churches. Perhaps they're full of churches. They are very nice people in those churches. And we don't want to change. We don't want to change. Somebody says, you know, stop preaching like that. You're going to lose your job. People don't like to listen to that. We are living in the 21st century. Today, there are major issues in our society. Yesterday, there were other issues. Tomorrow, there will be other issues. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this message will not change. This woman was changed when she repented. Now we see something happening. This woman does something. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I am the one speaking to you. I can change you if you trust me. Maybe you are struggling with something and you sense, oh, I was born like that. Remember the example of the pastor this morning about this pastor having this bad temper. Maybe his argument will be, I was born like that. Can you imagine? It was a problem for his church having that bad temper. So it will be another problem if we have issues in our lives and we don't want to address it. You are a minister of a church. You are a Sunday school teacher. You are a musician. You are a member of a church. You are a father. You are a mother. There are issues that we need to change, and we only change when we recognize that the Lord requires from us repentance. And then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, I found the Messiah. Now she's not afraid. Now she doesn't care. Now she's not hiding. She goes and says, you know, I found him. Is the Messiah there? He told me everything. It was uncomfortable in the beginning. My goodness, this woman is a powerful missionary. And she was a very, very despised person. My friends, the gospel can change you. Can change our society. Only if we allow him to do it. Jesus is our example, like we read this morning. Jesus says, the other woman, remember the woman that was caught in adultery. He said, I will not condemn you. But he said, go now and sin no more. Don't sin anymore. Jesus is our example. This morning that we read, you know, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, Zacchaeus. All these three examples, they change. The woman caught in adultery could say, well, I have a bad husband and he wasn't nice to me, so I have to do this. The woman who was living that life, she could have excuses. Zacchaeus could have excuses. Many people in churches or many people around, they could say they have excuses. The fact is that Jesus says, go now and live your life of sin. Perhaps people cannot see, but God can see. She's like all the people who try to fill their emptiness with personal success. They want to succeed, they want achievements, they want with money, with sex, with friends or hobbies or holidays. They may turn to drugs and alcohol, and you know, all this. They try to fill the vacuum. It will not be filled. There is a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. When we go to the Genesis, Adam and Eve, they walked with God, and the moment that relationship was broken, they felt naked and empty. When we are in sin, most of the time, we are going to get depressed. When we are in sin, we feel guilt. I remember when I was a child, and I did something wrong, I was terrified to go back home. Because I knew I was going to be disciplined. And I still remember like a three or four occasions that I did something really, really wrong. And I said, nobody's going to save me. that's a good picture. Oh, but when I was okay, I will go home and say, oh, hello, mom, hello, dad. You know, that's the same. This woman goes to the town, and people come. How many days he spent there? 2 days. Can you imagine? Jesus, the rabbi, the Jews, you know, what they were thinking? He spent 2 days. You know what I like of this passage? They did not demand miracles. Let's read together these verses. This is a beautiful verse. Let's read it together. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior. They only heard the gospel. No miracles. Prosperity gospel is the word. And they change. They understood Jesus is the Savior of the world. This woman humbled herself. She accepted Jesus' message. She repents. Real worship, Jesus says, real worship cannot take place until her life is put right and its failures addressed. Real worship cannot take place in the churches in the UK and around the world until our life is right with the Lord. And we confess our sins and we walk. Yes, your life was a mess before. Come to the Lord in repentance and say, yes, I was like that, but now I am a new person. That is powerful. When I hear preachers, I'm not saying that I would like to do that, you know. They have killed, they have been very bad, and they are so powerful when they preach. You know who does that? Jesus. And that's the Jesus that we proclaim in this church. The Savior of the world. Are you struggling? Come to Jesus. He can set you free. The woman left her water jar behind and go and tell others. Leave. Some people say, this is my religion. This is my education, you know, and then this is my social status. Leave that one side. Allow Jesus to fill your life. And you know what? You can do wonders like this woman did. May the Lord help us to be people this week that we proclaim that Jesus is the Savior of the world with our testimony by just preaching the Word of God so people can come and be free and being like this woman. Yes. We now have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are many religions in the world. Nowadays, people believe whatever they want to believe. Everyone is entitled to do whatever they want. Father, we still believe that the gospel has the power to transform lives. That is what your Bible says. That is what your word says. That is what you say. So, Father, thank you for this wonderful example of your power, of the power of the gospel. And, Father, help us to not to care about the context. Help us to be humble. And help us to respond to the dilemma of facing the truth in our lives. Father, I pray for that person this evening that has an issue in her life, in his life. Her husband doesn't know. His wife doesn't know. His parents doesn't know. Father, I pray that like this woman, they will come to you and repent. And they will be true worshipers because they will be able to worship in spirit and truth. So, Father, thank you for your word and help us to be those who proclaim that you are the Savior of the world. Amen.